Third chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at the first verse, Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. It's Acts 3:1-11. Let's bow in a prayer. Our Father, we come to you at this time thankful for an opportunity of gathering. We know that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst. We pray for your blessing upon us as we meditate on your word and upon this lesson from your word. Be with the needy, those who may be downhearted or discouraged, those who may be lonely. Help us all to love and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I have noticed about the first century church and the early Christians was their attitude toward possessions and toward money itself. In fact, I think we can go back a little further than that and go to Jesus. Matthew 8:20 says that He said, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Whenever I think about houses and lands and possessions, I do think about him. But when he died, the only thing he had was his clothes. That's all he had. And but then I stop and say, well, he was an itinerant preacher. He really couldn't. He couldn't have a house because he was on the move all the time. And back in those days, to be a follower of Jesus, you had to be on the move also. Wherever he went, that's where you went. So, to me, the story of Peter and John and the lame man at the gate Beautiful is just an interesting lesson about this attitude. There's no doubt it. About it, the man was laying there for alms, that is, for gifts, for money. And he wanted silver and gold, or bronze, as the mite, and other, the penny, as so far called in the New Testament. I'm sure he had needs because he was lame and could not work. So this was his way of making money. I will never forget living in Morristown, Tennessee as pastor on Saturdays. It was a kind of a, everybody came to town on Saturday. It was a mountain town. Everybody came to town on Saturday. And anybody that had any kind of a problem, either lameness or anything, I remember a man that had a withered leg, and he would sit there with his leg kind of laid there, and he would pull up his pants leg so people could see his leg. But they were there begging. I mean, all the way down the street, Main Street, on both sides, there would be people begging. And so this guy was there. He couldn't work because he's been lame from birth. and he probably had needs. But the thing that was extremely interesting and also wonderful is that Peter and John gave him something that money couldn't buy. In other words, he wanted money, but they gave him something that money couldn't buy, and that was health and hope. And this, of course, is extremely, extremely valuable. In fact, to me, the probably the key text of this lesson is the sixth verse. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It's very interesting that in this lesson, which the book of Acts was written by Luke. Luke was a physician. And I thought it was very interesting when he said, rise up and walk, they took him by the hand and lift him up. His feet and ankle bones received strength. So here he is, a physician, telling what was wrong with him. It was his feet and ankle bones. And they gave him a hand and raised him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and went into the temple area with Peter and John. It was an outright miracle, gift of healing that God had given them to be able to do this, and they did it for a lame man that had been lame from his birth. The thing that the lesson I want to get out of this today is the idea of eternal values. In other words, what in this world is of the most value? Was it the silver and gold the man was looking for, or was it in this instance his healing, his health, and the hope that they gave him? Of course, I think it's obvious that it was his health and the hope that he gave him that was most important. Business as it is that I have, I do see a good bit of the world, especially when I was at Reedy River, where I was dealing with all of the lawyers and doctors and all their rich people, that the key to their lives and the thing that was interesting most of all to them was money, power, prestige. I have blue blood. Someone said they saw this guy, this blue blood, get cut and his blood was red. But anyway, they want position. They want possessions. In fact, whenever I think about we're in a primaries in the election right now, and most of those people that are running are pretty well healed. So they're not in it for money, at least immediate money, because they already have it. But they want power. The power there is in positions to nominate people, select people, to do all different kinds of things. This is part of it. And it used to get me, and people say, well, Terry, I'm here looking for things for my mountain house. Or we're looking for informal things for our beach house. And they already lived on Crescent Avenue or someplace else in Greenville. But they were going just buying things for their mountain house and their beach house. And I used to, a lot of them, they'd say, well, I'm buying this or saving this to pass on to my children and my grandchildren, and I'm sure it will increase in value. And so there was just this, it was this emphasis on things, upon money and position and the power that they had. And I used to get a little tired of it. But I did say, and I have said, and I stand by it, I really loved the old money in Greenville that I used to run with. I didn't like those young ones were on the rise. They were scratching and biting and clawing and fighting all the time, trying to make their way up to the top. But the old money, they were just laid back and sweet, comfortable. And they were the ones I liked. But the thing that we have to realize in talking about these values, the lame man was looking for money. He was given health and hope. The thing that we have to realize, that especially in the economic downturn that we have had in this country lately, there have been a lot of people that were very wealthy that have had to come down quite a ways. I asked a wealthy friend of mine the other day about this last downturn, and he said, yeah, it cost me about $250,000, but it didn't affect my cash flow. And so he said, I can't even spend my dividends. He's the only rich man I've ever talked to that told you about his money. But the thing I'm talking about is that these things are not lasting. And the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, the 19th verse said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through or steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And of course, then the punchline down there is the 33rd verse, which all of us can generally quote, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a good verse, especially that 33rd and 34th about not worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. There's enough evil in one day without borrowing on another one. But the thing of it is that in this value that we're talking about, these different values, money and clothes and all these things that we all of us need, but none of these things of the world are lasting. I got a kick out of it. I was reading. I like jokes and stories. Anyway, this is fictional, of course. This rich man was dying, and he made a deal with Peter that he could take some of his money with him. Most of the time you can't. So what did he do? He said, well, I value most of all these gold bars that I've laid down. And when he made it with the gold bars, Peter said, well, why did you bring paving? I thought that was pretty good. Why did you bring paving? Of course, the thought is streets were paved with gold. But I'm just telling you anyway that what was valuable to the rich man was just paving. That was getting across to my thought of these things not being lasting or being that important. So the Bible talks about nearsightedness and farsightedness, and actually we know that there is what we call accommodation, and that's the ability to see things near and far in focus. And I've always prayed that I would have accommodation as far as eyesight. I'm talking about values. And I mean it, and I can say this honestly. If you come to my museum, you see a lot of stuff. And I'll put the word stuff in quotes. But it doesn't own me. In other words, I don't want anybody to steal it. I don't want anybody to break it. But it doesn't own me. I know that I'm a mortal creature, and it will be passed on, will be recycled. And I want to be able to see all things in focus. Yes, I do need clothes. I do need a car to get me where I'm going. I do need a place to live. All of us do. And that's not the problem. The problem is the excess or putting too high a value on things. And there's one thing that I have noticed about the taking down of the towers in New York City. It really changed a lot of people. People that I knew that were what I would call hoarders, they just bought everything they saw. They said, I got too much now. I don't really need that. And so they've kind of quit hoarding. My daughter says, Daddy, quit buying stuff. Start getting rid of it. Your age, I don't want to have to fool with this when you're gone. I bought some stuff yesterday. We had the Highway 23 yard sale down at Edgefield. I went on it. I must have gone to about 100 yard sales. But anyway, to me it's fun. It's amusement, entertainment, and I enjoy it. And I don't really see that it's all that bad. The thing of it is that so many people are unhappy in this life. They just can't seem to get enough, and they're just not happy with what they have. But I feel that I'm a happy person, and it's a good way to be. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day that I said, I have the best of two worlds. I said, I'm a preacher. I have wonderful church people, and I'm in the antique business, and I meet the nicest people in the antique world. I said, I'm really not out in the world all that much. I have been in worldly jobs, which were awful. But I just think that, in fact, I tell anybody, try to find a job that you're happy in. I would hate to be in a job that I hated. That would be a terrible thing to be in a job that you really didn't like. So I think that we should, as much as possible, in our dealing in the world, in our values, things that we do, the things that, where we work, where we live, and so forth, that we should strive for true happiness and contentment. The thing, of course, that the lesson in this story of Peter and John and the lame man in the values is he was looking for money, and they gave him health and hope. As we look at the values that we have with our faith, this is greater than silver or gold or any possession. It's something that nobody can take away from us. No market crash, no catastrophe, no tornado, no flood, no anything. That can't take that away from us, because that's a faith and a contentment and an everlasting hope that we have that can't be taken away. To me, the knowledge of what is coming to pass on this earth is a sense of happiness and contentment to a great extent. I'm always amazed. I had a lady the other day, we were talking, she said, well, don't you think this is a sign of the times? I blinked a little bit because I didn't expect it. I didn't know her that well. And I said, yes, it is. So we talked about it. And our everlasting hope and our faith in God is what gets us through. One of the greatest things that I own and my possession is love. I think that is, it can't be measured. And there's no value that you can place on it, because it is just beyond value and beyond measure. And as far as I know, the only way to get love is to love. Only way to be friends is to have friends is to be a friend. And so this is a value that money just can't buy. I get kidded quite a bit. If you come into my shop, in the entryway there are a bunch of chairs. Lots of times they're full. People just come in and having fun talking. And we talk about everything. We solve the world's problems and really talk it over. In fact, I think my shop is a little junky right now, if I want to be honest. People don't care. They come in and say, "Oh, Terry, you have such wonderful cats." And so they're petting my cats and doing all kinds of things. We're just having a good time. And that to me, is more important than business, is to the things that we go through. An inner peace is, to me, one of the greatest possessions. In the 14th of John, Jesus said that peace he was leaving with them. Peace, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. We can live in very troublesome situations in families and in the world and all that, but we can still have peace. In fact, I've many times said that I'm very concerned about the direction the world's going. I think the United States has been a beacon light in the world for over 200 years. And I see some things that are pretty bad that worry me and bother me about the direction our country's going. But it is the truth that Christianity, our faith, can exist in any situation in the world. I don't want to live under communism or socialism, or I wouldn't want to have been under fascism, but under dictatorships or any of those, but we could. We could still live our lives, our lives of faith, no matter what our condition. The thing that we have to, and I never use the word you. I always use the word we or I. What am I saying about my values, our values? Are they the focus on these eternal values that I've been recounting? Or are we thinking too much about this world and what it has and what it has to offer, and its cares and its problems, things? It's just, I think we really have to look inward, compare our lives to the example of Jesus and the apostles and the words that are written in the scriptures. We need to have control of our lives. That's one of the reasons I can never be a drug addict, because I want to have 100% control of my life. We have to take hold of things that are eternal, not just the things that are physical, that are about us. I don't have what people would call blind faith. I plan and I work and try to make provision for my needs so that I can pay my bills and keep the car on the road. But it just seems like that a lot of things we worry about really never come to pass, so they really weren't worth worrying about. It doesn't do any good to carry over yesterday's problems, and it doesn't help to worry about tomorrow, because we just don't know what's going to be, and things seem to work out. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give you. The important eternal values. Those are what important. Sixth chapter of Matthew again, the 23rd verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. And the word added there is the word super added. In other words, it's put on top of what we already have. If we seek kingdom of God and put the spiritual and eternal values first, the other things will work out. They'll all fall in line. And that's what I want us to do, and that's the way I want us to live. Trust in God and going forward day by day. Pray that God will help us. Let me thank you for your time.